This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door, including my favourite, the quarter pounder with cheese. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery, so the only thing left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get reward points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Hello and welcome to 280 something of the Stacey West podcast. My name is Gary, and in a change from your usual program, I am drunk. My apologies for that. We will explain a little bit more about that in a minute, but I am joined by the hopefully sober Charlie Beeston. How are you doing, sir?
Nobody told me I wasn't supposed to drink before this. I am absolutely fine, thanks, and actually very sober. Which I'll be honest, I wasn't going to have a drink yesterday either. And after the game, I definitely had a couple of beers because it deserved a celebration, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. That's not why I'm celebrating. I'm not celebrating a 5-1 Lincoln City victory at Oakwell, which I think is our biggest win at Oakwell ever. And certainly they still haven't beaten us at their place since 1973. I am drunk because today is, Charlie... Oh, I thought you'd got the sound effect ready.
You're going to have to cut it out. Right, hang on, buddy.
It's Christmas!
Brilliant. So today was Christmas Day. So for regular listeners, obviously my dad had a health scare over the Christmas period, which left him basically a miserable bastard, as you'd probably expect. And he got the all clear, so we decided to have a Christmas Day for him today, which started at 1 o'clock. So I thought I'd better drink. So I've been drinking since 1 o'clock today. Peek behind the curtain. The time is, what time is it, Charlie? I've no idea.
Half six. 20 past six. Yeah.
20 past six. Yeah. So only 5 hours drinking. So, we've got some drinking time to do. For the record, yours truly won at pool and Cranium, which was good. So, and we've been playing Cranium for the last, do you know what Cranium is, Charlie? Have you played that?
I have absolutely no idea.
No. So Cranium's a board game where you've got like general knowledge questions. You have like word questions, like spelling backwards and stuff. And then you have what's called Creative Cat, where you have to like draw things like Pictionary. And sometimes you have to draw with your eyes closed.
I'm going to be great.
You'd be good at that, man. Yeah, yeah. You'd smash that. And then you have to hum certain songs and stuff like that. And we've always played Cranium, but we've never done it with Plasticine because I bought Cranium in 2005, spilt beer on the Plasticine on the first time we bought it, ruined it. So every time we've got Sculpturades, which is the Plasticine thing, we've always gone, oh, we'll skip it. So we bought Plasticine, so we've had that. And I had to sculpt a fig leaf today, so which we got. So, yeah, I won a Cranium. And one at pool, so that's really good. And it feels like a weekend for winning because obviously Lincoln City won yesterday. And it's hard because I want to talk about loads of other stuff. I want to do the bantering beforehand and talk about the pool, and I want to talk about the beer, and I want to talk about like having Christmas with Dad and all of the great people on the podcast who today have actually messaged him directly, who know him and gone, you know, happy Christmas. And he's been getting messages going, the fuck's he sending me happy Christmas for? It's Christmas Day, Dad. Oh, yeah. But actually, Lincoln City going away to a team who, if they'd won yesterday, were going to be second in the league. and just mopped the floor with them. And I'm still a little bit in shock. And it leaves you high, doesn't it? It leaves you in a position, it leaves you in a kind of a, I don't know, a state of like, not what the hell happened, because we've seen Lincoln win away big in recent years, 6-2 at Port Vale, which Michael Horton completely forgot about on the radio, 5-1 at Cambridge last season, and we won 5-0 at Barnet a few years ago. But I'm not sure we've ever quite gone away to a team who are doing as well. Neil Collins was nominated for Manager of the Month. It's just, I don't know, something feels special, Charlie, about this, doesn't it?
It really does. Like you say, we've had some big away wins, and we've had some wins against teams near the top of the division. I mean, look, we beat Barnsley at Oakwell last season. But to combine the two, to get the result that we did and to get the performance in that manner, I couldn't stop grinning for the whole of last night. Like I got back and smile on my face. The fourth and fifth goals, when they went in, I mean, first of all, what a ridiculous statement that is. When the fourth and fifth goals went in, we travelled away to Barnsley. But when the fourth and fifth goals went in, I couldn't celebrate for like the first 20 seconds. I'm just stood there, jaw on the floor in absolute disbelief, just screaming, what the is going on? It was absolutely emphatic as a performance that I have ever seen from Lincoln City. And I'm genuinely going to put it up there as probably, like I said, one of, if not the best performance I've ever seen from Lincoln.
Do you know what's crazier? Barnsley weren't even shit.
No.
That's what's crazy. Barnsley weren't even bad. Like, we went away, we won 6-2 at Port Vale, and they were terrible. They were absolutely terrible. They couldn't defend balls into the box. It was awful. This was a decent Barnsley side, and we're going to come on to it, but this is a Barnsley side that could probably have scored twice just before half-time. This is a good team. This is a Barnsley team that I have absolutely no fear in predicting will finish in the top six and who will be a real serious proposition in the playoffs. But, you know, if we get in the playoffs, they're going to be worried because, you know, we've scored 9 at Oakwell, I think, in the last sort of 2 seasons and conceded, what, 1 maybe. But anyway, that's assuming we're going to be in the playoffs. That's a conversation that we are going to have deeper into the podcast. Let's strip it all the way back. So let's go before kickoff, just before 2 o'clock. Now, I don't like to blow my own trumpet. As everybody knows, I'm a humble man. But I think if anybody listens back to the podcast on Thursday, they may recall certain Mr. Hutchinson saying, Charlie.
We might get some if we go for it.
And what did we do?
Hey, we got something because we went for it.
Exactly. It was a guess. Sorry. I love being drunk. It makes me really arrogant. This was a game that I saw. I just looked at it. I just thought, we can take something from this game because they're one of the best teams in the division and we perform against the best teams in the division. But we didn't have a choice when it comes to team selection. We couldn't not go for it. And okay, like Michael Scovala went over and above because he's kind of gone, well, what's the best way to go for it? Ah, we'll just put all our strikers on. And that reminded me a little bit of going away to Coventry in the 2017-18 season when we won 4-2, because that was the first game where Danny Cowley just went, ah, sod it, we'll play Ollie Palmer, Matt Reed and Matt Green and just see what we can do. So all of a sudden, it's Freddie Draper, it's Joe Taylor, it's Ben House. And okay, Ben House was playing in the 10, but he's a striker. He plays like a striker. He harasses like a striker. And then in the two midfield roles, it's like Danny Mandroyu is one of them. And I took when team first came out, you kind of go, well, we're going for it. Mandroyu in the midfield. We've got no McGrandles. We've got no Hamilton. Burrows on the bench, brilliant, but you know, not quite ready to start. It was gung-ho, wasn't it? It was hell for leather. It was boom or bust.
When the lineup came out, it was immediately, okay, let's just figure out who's playing where, because that is what we have to do in this situation. And then when you sort of realise, okay, chances are it'll be Danny Mandroyu next to Ethan Aaron, and we're thinking, bloody hell, we're going to score a few. Because it's not like we, you know, and again, not a slight on Mark Kennedy's sides, but it's not like we were still under Mark Kennedy and we were going with this attacking system and these attacking players and still probably just going for a 1-0 victory. We sort of knew that we'd get a few goals. And that's why, you know, in our Patreon Discord before the game, I genuinely turned around and went, look, this could honestly be something like a 4-4 draw. Because as strong as we are defensively, if we're going so attacking, we'd be naive to think that we're not going to concede one or two or three against a very strong Barnsley side. But we're going there to try and outscore them, which is something that we've not really seen Lincoln City do too often in the last few seasons. But it's obviously something that we clearly went with the intention of doing on Saturday. And obviously it worked. But just from the get-go, to be on the attacking front foot so early on in the game, I mean, I'm not surprised, because coming out of the blocks is something that I think we've done really, really well over this extended run of these kind of last 11 games. But to have done it away at Barnsley, again, it just shocked, I think, them.
Yeah, I think so. I think the first half, look, Michael Scabala's side, one thing I'll give them credit for is they've been coming out of the blocks relatively quickly. Which, and I don't want to contrast Scabala to Kennedy, because it's not fair, because I have a personal opinion that may be clouded a little bit, which I hold my hands up to, so I'm not going to do that. But I don't think it's something that we've had a history of doing, is coming out of the blocks early, having a go. And there's this talk, which we'll come on to, of the top six, which we dismissed. Chris and I don't know what 24 times 7 is, but a week ago, Chris and I dismissed it. That's it. It's over. We can relax. It's not over, because we've gone and done what we've just done. And we've done it by coming out in the first 15 minutes. And this is a really good Barnsley side. They started with Herbie Kane, with Nicky Cadden, with John McAtee, with Devante Cole, with Jordan Williams, with Adam Phillips, with Luke O'Connell. This is not a bad side. This is a really good side. And when they got in possession and when they got on the ball, they played the ball nicely. But they couldn't cope with us in that first 15 minutes, because we were quick, we were direct, we were harassing. And I thought the front three, and okay, we went out in it's a 3-5-2 or a 3-4-3. I don't know which way you want to put it, but Ben House was playing the 10 role. But House, Draper and Taylor, the work that they were putting in, and it was particularly evident in the first 15 minutes when it's 0-0, when the game is a contest still, when there isn't a goal that's changed the complexion of it. The work that they were putting in was, and I am prone to hyperbole, and my apologies if you're listening to this and you don't like swearing, was fucking awesome. They were so hardworking. It was unbelievable, wasn't it?
That was from a front three. You know, like one and a two, whatever, it doesn't matter. Again, one of the best performances I think I've seen. And we know how strong Ben House is in particular. He always gets the praise for it. I think Joe Taylor has come on that sense of his game, even from the very first time we saw him in a Lincoln shirt, to the point where he's now absolutely outstanding at it. And Freddie Draper complements those two perfectly as well. It's really difficult to try and have kind of objective analysis about a game like this, because everything was...
Stop it, just don't want to
sit there and go, it was good. It was good. I enjoyed it. That's because it's all you want to do, because it really, really was. Straight out from the get-go, brilliant attacking football, not letting them really get out of their half, even when they moved it forward. And I'm going to touch on sort of breaking up their transitions a little bit later on when we talk about a certain player. But we did that from the very first minute, and obviously it worked. Obviously, there was the second half of the first half, if you like, because it was... we need to talk about the goal first. Ignore me.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, come on to that, Charlie. You're getting ahead of yourself, aren't you?
Yeah, I know. I am.
I'm the drunk one. Come on. 15 minutes.
This was an Irish coffee.
We always break the game up into 15-minute spells. And the first 15 minutes, we were on top. And what you want at the end of that first 15-minute spell is something to prove that you're on top. 15 minutes on the nose, we score a goal. Now, I put something on TikTok, because we do TikTok, because I might be 45 years old, but I understand what TikTok is. And it was a video of Plymouth away last season. And it was ball out to Mandroyu, or ball out to Sorensen, Sorensen to Mandroyu, Mandroyu into Shadipo, Shadipo into the back of the net. 1, 2, 3, goal. From back to front. And this was very, very similar. Now, Danny Mandroyu, we're going to talk about again a little bit later. We keep saying that. But Danny Mandroyu, for me, was excellent yesterday. that was not a long punt. And to be fair, their commentators have had a bit of stick on social media with, oh, it's a long ball, but that wasn't the overall kind of feeling. That's a great ball. Sorensen down the flank, one touch, Bosch, Joe Taylor, who, by the way, my dad absolutely loves Joe Taylor. And the Plymouth, Jesus Christ, the Barnsley supporters are raving about who's the number nine with his socks rolled down to his ankles. We should be signing him, all this sort of stuff. Lovely one touch finish. I mean, it was just, I say it's a thing of beauty, but that's like being at a fashion show and the first model comes out and going, wow, she's beautiful. And then the fifth one comes out and you know what? You can't choose between them, but the first one sticks in your mind. That first goal sticks in my mind. It was just, it was the shock, I think, of score. I thought we'd score, but I didn't think we'd score in the first 15 minutes. It was just a thing. It was just a work of art, wasn't it? In terms of attack, counter-attacking football.
It was perfect, quite frankly. And obviously, you've picked on Danny Mandroy's long ball there. It was absolutely outstanding. I mean, I think even Jack Moylan turned around and went, he wasn't too sure if it was just a clearance. And who cares? Because even if it was, it still worked perfectly.
It was a pass. Yeah. He's looked. It was a pass.
But also, Lars Sorensen to be in that position and to then know, to be able to bring the ball down as sort of as well as he did, to then be able to play Joe Taylor in so well was absolutely one outstanding. Touch. Everything worked perfectly in that move. And you said you were a little bit shocked that we'd scored that early. I wasn't. I really wasn't, because it had kind of been coming already, as we've spoken about. That first 15 minutes was just so strong from us. And we are coming out of the blocks quite quickly at the minute, that I really wasn't that shocked when we scored. But it was then about, I turned to the person sat next to me and he listens to the pod. I didn't catch your name yesterday, but it was great sitting with you. And we turned around, we just need to make sure we keep on going for this now. Last thing we can do now is just sit back for a bit of time, because they will be able to hurt us. They are a really strong attacking side. So I wanted to obviously keep going. It didn't necessarily work like that.
No, because I don't think we sat back.
No.
Because I think if we're playing Exeter or Carlisle or Fleetwood or anybody and we scored that first goal, you can almost afford to sit back. Barnsley are one of the best attacking sides in the division. Second, in my opinion, on the two games that we've seen, probably only to Peterborough. And there'll be a lot of Barnsley fans will be disagreeing, because I'm going to talk really positively about Barnsley through this podcast, because I think that they were an excellent side going forward. I think they played quick football. Really like Nicky Cadden on the left. I really like Adam Phillips, who wasn't playing on the right, but he was playing kind of in the middle, I think, of the two. Such good footballers. And I'll be honest, I think for the last 15 minutes of the second half, they battered us. But credit to us, I think that we stood really firm. I think we blocked. I think we chased. I think we harassed. I thought Sean Rowan, who for some reason, who scored, have got his captain. I don't quite know how that happened, but I thought Rowan was excellent. I thought Paddy O'Connor and Alex Mitchell were excellent. But I pick on Sean Rowan particularly because he's 20 years old. And it's utterly ridiculous that this kid's 20 years old. We're going to talk about Jack Moylan. We're going to talk about Ethan Arahan. We're going to talk about the players that do the sexy things at the end of at the other end of the pitch. But in those 15, 20 minutes at the end of the second half, you have to talk about those defensive players. The home comms, by the way, were purring over our back three. Absolutely purring over them.
I'm not surprised. I'm really, really not surprised. I thought Lars Sorensen really struggled for the last 20, 25 minutes of the first half. But it wasn't...
Had him on toast.
He absolutely did. He beat him three or four times. And again, it was something that we were talking about in the crowd, but it was... He can beat him out on the wing as much as he wants, because he cannot play a ball into our box, because he tries and it's immediately cleared. Sometimes he was trying to play a shorter one and it's cleared by Alex Mitchell. Sometimes he tries to play a longer one. And Sean Rowan, as you mentioned, he was absolutely outstanding. And we held really, really firm defensively. Bodies on the line at times. We struggled to properly get out, if you like, for those 20 minutes. And it looked like it was the last 10 minutes of the game where we were 1-0 up. That's what it very much felt like going, in that kind of 30 to 40 minute mark. But like I said, it didn't matter. They could come forward to us as much as they want, and they had no real ideas against a defence that is as strong as that. And part of me does think if we hadn't have gone on and scored as many as we did and kind of found that second gear attacking wise in the second half, we quite easily could have won that game 1-0. And I think we probably would have kept a clean sheet because, like I said, they were void of ideas.
They had five opportunities from 27 minutes. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven opportunities, sorry, between 27 and 45 minutes. Mm. Only one of them yielded an XG over 0.1, which was Herbie Kane 0.24. But that's not critical, by the way. I mean, they had three times the XG of Stevenage. They had more than twice the XG of Shrewsbury. They had twice the XG of Port Vale. They're a good side. I'm not... Mm. Like, it's really easy when we... When we get enthusiastic about Lincoln, to sometimes you put the opposition to one side, like, we scored three against Shrewsbury. It could have been four or five, but it was a terrible Shrewsbury side. This is a good Barnsley side. And I think they proved they didn't lack ideas. They lacked application. I thought their ideas were always the same, getting down the sides. They exposed Lass time and time again. That's not critical of Lass. It's a credit to Nicky Cannon, who I thought was outstanding for them in that 15-minute period. I thought Phillips was a danger. I thought they worked things really well. I was really surprised they took McAtee off so early in the second half because, for me, he's got real quality on the ball. So it did surprise me. But like you say, we went in a 1-0. And you think 1-0 away at Barnsley. All we need to do... He's come out, keep it tight for 15 minutes. There's no thought in my mind at that point if we can nick another. That's not in my mind. It's not, because I'm thinking, and maybe it's kind of the Mark Kennedy as manager ethos in my mind, but I'm thinking, keep it tight, defend. If we can defend a 1-0 lead, maybe that's something that's become ingrained in me from Michael Appleton's second season and Mark Kennedy's season, but it's almost like we've got a goal, let's defend it. Now, I'm prone to hyperbole. I've already said that. I'm prone to getting a little bit carried away. I'm going to find it, Charlie, really, really hard, given that I'm also drunk, not to just sound like I'm talking about Barcelona in the second half. So I'm going to hand over to you for the first 10, 15 minutes of the second half to talk us up to the second goal. Because as far as I'm concerned, Lincoln City went in at half time and Brazil 1970 came out in the second half.
Whatever Michael Skubala's team talk was, I think every team in this division wants a little bit of that at half time, because it was. And coming out from the concourse and the start of the second half, there was this little bit of a worry, I'll be honest, a little bit kind of trepidation about, look, they were coming at us for so far. I wasn't as worried as some others because I was half expecting the second half of the first half for them to be the stronger side, because, again, I think it's a bit of a feature of some of our games recently. So I wasn't quite as worried as some others, but many were, that they will just come out and continue. But it really didn't go like that at all. Like you say, we came out playing some superb passing football, moving the ball up the pitch. There's one particular game that I always think of, and in fact, there was a couple of goals in this particular game that I always think of when I think about when have I seen Lincoln City play some of the best attacking football. And it was in the playoff season under Michael Appleton, and it was actually the 3-3 draw with Peterborough. You know, obviously that game famous for a number of reasons. And I think it was the third goal that we scored. It was Anthony Scully's goal, and there was something like 8 forward passes in that move, and it was just proper kind of, but like I say, tiki-taka, real strong football. And this was better. Now, I think it was helped by actually some of their substitutions. Obviously, they brought on, you say, they took off that McAtee and they brought on Sam Cosgrove, didn't they, for him? Who's a little bit of a taller player, more of a target man, shall we say.
And not for me, that boy. Not for me, but go on.
No, but more than McAtee is anyway.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm not saying he's not for me as a target. I'm saying he's not for me as a footballer, full stop.
No. But it was then played into our hands, because thinking, well, what on earth's their game plan going forward now? Because they know how strong our defence is aerially, for example. So it just seemed really strange that this was something that they were going for, which then, again, probably spurred us on even more, because we're like, okay, now it just seems like this game is properly there to win. And it, I'm going to go back to the whole void of ideas part from them in the second half. And they were a really strong side, and there is no denying that. We were simply better. And then, obviously, we got that second goal to, you know, give us that reasonably comfortable lead by that point, if you like. And the goal, yeah. I mean, sorry, go on.
Before we come on to the goal, do you know, actually, on our XG, one of our chances was 0.77 on an XG. So it was higher than a penalty. That's Jovan's goal, which we'll come to. The other chance, the next highest chance, 0.72, was Joe Taylor, 46 minutes, when Mandroyu's shot strikes Taylor in the area. And for me, that typified the start of the second half. A minute in, and our own player actually is blocking a chance to make it 2-0. Then the second goal comes on, and we've got, basically, this leads us into talking about Lionel Moylan, doesn't it? Because, right, Jack Moylan, I mean, a couple of weeks ago, I was on the podcast and I said to Chris, you know, I fear he's a bit lightweight. I fear that he needs that 6 months to get into the swing of things. I never criticised him as a player. It just, he's going to need time. Like, you know, Dylan Duffy needed 3 or 4 games, and then Duffy announced himself. I seem to think at Wickham away, Duffy got his first goal. That was when it was Tom Peck came in the August or in the January rather, and he needed the May before you kind of get into the running. You think Jack Moylan coming into the League of Ireland, and we talked to Adam, who's on our Real FL podcast, and he said, you know, well, he might be lightweight, he might get battered about. So Moylan comes up. And Moylan apparently is not happy that he hasn't started the game. So what do you do if you're not happy? You sulk, you mooch around, or you come on and you turn in the sort of performance that in 20 years' time fans will still be talking about. And that's what Jack Moylan does. So we're going to talk about the second goal now. I get the goals mixed up because there were so many of them. I seem to remember the second goal was the one where, was it the tackle was won by Ethan Arahan in the middle of the park? Moylan's picked it up. He's gone through their defence like a hot knife through butter and finished. And it just, you know, it changes the, I say changes the complexion of the game. It doesn't, because we've been on top from the second we've walked out. But a goal changes the complexion of the game far more than possession or chances or anything like that, doesn't it?
It was. And like you say, actually, I think it was not just the fact that we scored a goal to make it 2-0, but it was the manner in which that goal was scored. And like you say, it was, the whole game was Jack Moylan announcing himself to Lincoln City fans. But that goal immediately made you sit up and remember Jack Moylan's name. And it is going to be a name. He could be sold in the summer. It'll still be a name that you remember fondly in 20 years' time. Because that goal, the touch, because it was this goal. The fact that we're mixing up great goals as well at Oakwell is a great thing. But this was the goal where there was both defenders that went into him, looked like they were going to sandwich him, and yet somehow he managed to have the trickery to get through. And also the finish. The finish is Premier League level. The fact that he's able, from that tight angle, whilst running through defenders, probably one or two of them still having a little niggle at him as after he's gone through, he's still able to slot it so comfortably against one of the best goalkeepers in the league. We spoke about that on Thursday night's podcast in the Y Scout Index rankings. He's second, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't he? So
yeah,
it was, everything about it was absolutely beautiful. And it made us in the stands purr.
Well, Luke O'Connell, one of the players he's done, moved to Celtic from Bolton Wanderers.
Yeah.
He's played for Republic of Ireland under 21s. Yeah. So he's done that. So that's 2-0. Well, we can wax lyrical as much as we want. That's 2-0. And you think 2-0 is a dangerous scoreline. So you go 2-0 up on 55 minutes. What do you then need to do? You go 3-0 up on 58 minutes. And it brings me, you and I said to you, look, I'd like us both to talk about a player, one player that's not Jack Moylan, that's really stood out for us in this game. And first of all, we both picked the same player, but you're going to talk about him at the end of the game. So I said, well, in that case, I'll talk about Danny Mandroyu, because it was only a week ago where it's Danny Mandroyu, where does he fit in? I don't understand it. Ted Bishop's brilliant. You don't play Mandroyu with Bishop. He can't play holding midfield. He can't do this or that. He was outstanding yesterday. He played simple balls when he needed to play simple balls. He never shirked a challenge. And I saw Andy Pearson, by the way, say on social media, he praised Danny Mandroiu. Now, Andy Pearson does not like a player that shirks a challenge, and Danny Mandroiu has in the past. If you're going to impress anybody and anybody's going to say you're good, and then I'm going to go, well, he must have been good, is when Andy Pearson says Danny Mandroiu is good. His goal was outstanding, but like all of our goals, I say all of them, most of them, it came from us winning the ball back from Barnsley possession. And in this case, it was the lad Josh Earle, who I really like. Ben House has dispossessed him way back in his own half. Ben House has won the ball back from Josh Earle. He's come down the line. He's played it into Joe Taylor. Delicious little flick. I mean, it's, you know, people talk about things like cheeky Nando's. That was cheeky Joe Taylor. Do you know what I mean? That was chicken and sauce and all of it. Flick it into Mandroiu. He's got the ball. I think you take it left and come across. He's run into trouble. He's run into players. But we just played with such confidence. And Josh Earle's had a nightmare because then he's fallen over right in front of it. But it's a great goal for Mandroiu. And for me, it's a good sign when we know we haven't got McGrandles, we know we haven't got Hamilton, that Danny Mandroiu's come into the side and not just had a great game, but capped it with a great goal.
When he ran into trouble, my first thought was, he's one of the few players on this pitch then that maybe doesn't quite have the confidence to be running straight at goal or to take the early shot or anything like that. And then he had the composure and actually the confidence to be able to run into trouble, come out the other side of it and have a tidy finish at the end of it. Again, against one of the league's top keepers. You know, that was, there's clearly such a level of confidence within this team. And actually, it was very much the assist for me that stood out, because for Joe Taylor to flick that on and to have the spatial awareness to know that Danny Mandroiu is in so much space right behind you, rather than trying to name and headlights, try and take it for yourself or anything like that. Second to none. I think he deserves huge, huge praise for that. And then, like I said, Danny Mandroiu being able to take that goal on, run through defenders like they're not there. It was so, so nice to see. And I had worried that he'd fucked it, if you like, when he did. But nah,
you're not even drunk, Charlie. You're not even drunk. And he shifted it onto his favoured right foot, because he's right-footed, and it was great.
Is he?
Yeah, right-footed. And then just Wonderland 14 minutes later. And I don't know what to say about the boy. To be honest, it's really easy, and it's you know, it's not a hot take to say, well, Jack Moylan was outstanding, because he was obviously outstanding. I can't recall the last time I saw a Lincoln City player drive something from 30 odd yards out into the back of the net from open play. That's dead. Yeah, we can't just have.
I want to say one of the two Ethans did it earlier in the season. In fact, so both of the two Ethans did it earlier in the season. But the fact I can't remember it fully says it all.
I mean, Ethan Hamilton did something against Shrewsbury, but we're talking edge of the area. We're not talking 30-odd yards out. Yeah, I mean, it was just, you know what, Jack Moylan, we talk about him. And I know Adam, who, again, on the Real EFL podcast, he's over the moon, because he's basically said, this boy's brilliant. He's going to be brilliant for you as long as he toughens up, and he doesn't even need to toughen up. So it's 4-0. We're cruising. Do you know what? Even as a pessimist, I'm thinking, as long as they don't get one or two now, because then it's, I've still got Peterborough from a couple of years ago in my mind when we were 3-0 up. I don't think I've ever seen Lincoln throw a 4-0 lead away. But I always felt Barnsley could and would score. And you said off air, well, I haven't really seen their goal, so I don't really want to talk about it too much. Some people have said to me that the boy O'Keefe, I think, is it Callum O'Keefe, the tackle on Corey O'Keefe, the tackle on Lass was a foul, should have been a yellow card. I'm not so sure. It's a good hard tackle. Do you know what I mean? Like Lass looking to put his boot through it. Their boy's absolutely gone on to it. Cosgrove, by the way, has missed an absolute sitter in the middle of the park just beforehand. I don't think it pops up on their XG. What a sitter he's missed. It doesn't. It isn't even counted. But the ball's come right across in front of him. How he's not got a touch on it, I don't know. Phillips, great, great player. Really big fan of Phillips. Rifles it into the net. 4-1. It's 82 minutes. Slightly squeaky bum time. and then we go up the other end. And I said on social media, and I don't want this to feel bad, but when we beat Germany in 2001, and people said, and even Heskey scored. Emil Heskey was a great player for England, and he was vastly underrated, by the way. And that's the sort of comment that you get from from people who don't fully understand football and what certain players' roles are. But as soon as that ball went in, the fifth goal, my first thought is, and even McCarmer scored. And Jovan's done really well. He's followed it in and all that sort of stuff. But that goal's all about Jack Moylan again, because where he's won the ball, and you know, I'm sure you've watched it back, I'm sure you've seen it, Alex Mitchell's actually won the ball.
Yeah.
Way back, kind of, you're talking 80 yards from goal, and Moylan's picked it up and he's run 80-odd yards into the area. It's Jack Moylan's goal apart from the name under the score. But McCarmer's gone in, and it's the gloss, isn't it? It's the finish on the... It's the cherry on the icing on the cake.
It kind of made you forget that they had scored, because nobody stood in the stands. Nobody, I'm sure, watching it on iFollow at home or listening to the radio or watching it in Albania or anything, anywhere like that. Nobody will have been too worried when they scored. But to then go and restore that four-goal lead inside of 2 minutes before they'd even finished, I don't even know if that goal music was still playing at that point. It seemed that quick. That it was just so, so impressive. And somebody pointed out on social media, and I'm not actually sure who it was, but they sort of pointed out that to see the players seem to get so annoyed when Barnsley scored, even though we were 4-1 up by that point, it's a huge, huge compliment that they're clearly... There's such a belief and a togetherness in this team. And I put it out on Twitter again last night because somebody put a photo on there of Jack Moylan's post-match interview. And I watched it again on iFollow today. And I think it's Dylan Duffy and somebody else stood behind him. I can't remember exactly who it was. And they're all just stood there smiling. They're loving each other. There's clearly such a friendship, such a bond between this whole group at the minute. And something special is happening, isn't it? But that goal... For Jovan to get it, first of all, huge for him. Really impressed, pleased for him that he got a goal. But it was Jack Moylan's. It's also such a shame that he's not even going to get the assist for that, because obviously that's not quite how assists work. But he probably deserved his hat-trick. But in his mind, he got a hat-trick.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's, what, 7 clean sheets in 9? Am I right with that? 6 clean sheets in 9. So Derby clean sheet, Peterborough clean sheet, Burton clean sheet. We conceded at Fleetwood and Charlton, Exeter, Port Vale, Shrewsbury, Stevenage. So 7 clean sheets in 10.
Conceded 4 in our last 11 matches.
Outstanding. Outstanding. We've got a little point on our list of things that we need to talk about. And it's at the end. I'm going to talk about it now, Charlie. And I'm going to get your take on it, because you weren't on with Chris and me last week when we wrote it off. And I know Tim Priestley, if Tim's listening, he says he would much rather have the positivity of Cornell than the, and he didn't say the word smug, but he probably meant it, the smug knowingness of me and Chris. Playoffs. Are they still on, Charlie?
Are they on? Yes. Do I think we're going to get them? I'm still erring on the side of caution, but I'm enjoying the ride. I don't get bogged down. I was saying this off camera. I don't get bogged down with how many points we are off Stevenage and that kind of thing. Not at the minute. The minute I'm focused on the fact that I think we're going to need 76 points to get into the playoffs. I have a feeling that will be the cutoff, give or take one or two. To get 76 points, we need to win 7 of our last 9 games. Now, when you say that out loud, it's like, no, it's ludicrous. It's just not going to happen, is it? You know. Then you think about the fact we've won 6 of our last 8. If we win on Tuesday night, we've won 7 of our... last 9, you know, it is actually 100% still on. And you can't write us off after a performance like that yesterday, because teams are going to come to us now scared. They're going to come to us and potentially shut up shop more than what they would have done previously, which could pose its own challenges. But with the free-flowing attacking football that we're exhibiting at the minute, I still think we'll be able to break down most teams, even if they do try and come to us and be strong defensively. If I'm going to say, if we'd have played Stevenage after Barnsley and we still got the 5-1 Barnsley result, let's say that was last Saturday and then Stevenage was yesterday, I think we'd have beaten Stevenage. I think we'd have taken the confidence from the battering that we gave Barnsley into the Stevenage game and won it. So, are playoffs still on? Yes.
Peterborough, Leighton Orient, Bolton Wanderers, Charlton Athletic, Barnsley, Oxford United. Do you know what all of those teams have in common?
Tell me.
They're all opponents of Stevenage before the end of the season.
Oh.
Talk to me this about Ethan Arahan, Charlie.
Every single goal that was scored yesterday, and we've mentioned it already a few times on the podcast, came from us winning the ball back and being quick on the attack. Now, different players won the ball back in for the different goals, as we've already mentioned. Alex Mitchell with one, obviously Ben House with one. But Ethan Arahan was doing that all game. Even when it didn't end in a goal, he was breaking up those Barnsley transitions all game. And also, if Ethan Arahan wasn't as strong defensively yesterday as what he was, first of all, we very well may have conceded in the first half. And second of all, Danny Mandroya would not have been given the license to be as attacking as he was. The two worked so well together when there was definitely a bit of worry and trepidation going into the game that it wouldn't. And I think Chris put in our group chat during the match, I didn't think Danny Mandroya would be able to play that deep-lying playmaker role next to where Ethan Arahan. But he did. And as much credit as you can give to Danny Mandroya for that, so much credit has to be given to Ethan Arahan. Marco Skubala, in his post-match press conference, made a point of saying, look, we weren't trying to keep the ball that often. We weren't going to come here to try and dominate possession. We know we can't do that, which, for the record, there's so much pragmatism in every game plan that he has, and it's really starting to come through, and I'm loving that. Reminds you a little bit of a certain brother pairing that we had in charge at times. And what we wanted to do was stop them being able to transition the ball up the pitch. Ethan Arahan was the key to that. He was the main proponent of that, and he fulfilled his role in the game plan to absolute perfection, allowing everybody around him to also play to perfection.
Agree. Ian Foster, one of the people that was linked with the Lincoln City job, just 3 points off the relegation spots with Plymouth in the Championship. Danny Cowley, one of the brothers that I backed for coming to Lincoln, in serious danger with Colchester having lost yesterday at the bottom of League Two. Des Buckingham, who I think both me and Chris would love to have seen at Lincoln, has guided Oxford now to outside of the playoffs, 5 points behind us. Michael Skubala has taken us from, 15th to 9th and has closed a gap of 15 points on the playoffs to 6 in the space of a week. Phenomenal. I'm going to wax lyrical about Ethan Arahan for a minute as well, by the way, because said to you, let's both talk about a player. I want to talk about Ethan Arahan. You said I do as well. For me, he was man of the match yesterday. Now, on the Stacey West ratings, Jack Moylan's getting 9.4. He's obviously going to get that. People love a player who scores goals, who breaks through, all that sort of stuff. He'll get the plaudits. For me, that was a game of two halves. Yes, we scored 4 in the second half. We blew Barnsley away. Our attacking was superb. But in the first half, we were organised. We were disciplined. We created chances. We won the ball back. We broke up play. At the heart of that, every single thing that we did that was good, right at the heart of it, was Ethan Arahan. He's getting 8.9 on the Stacey West ratings. So he's the second highest rated player. So if you take the emotion of the goals out of it, for me, over 90 minutes, technically, Stacey West readers are saying he was the best player as well. I think he's bordering on one of the best Lincoln City midfielders I've ever seen. I think he's right up there with Liam Bridcutt. And he's, 22 years old. I love the lad. I've followed some Barnsley accounts. I've watched some Barnsley accounts. I've read some Barnsley feedback. And they've said that they should be targeting Arahan and Taylor are the two players that stuck out for them. How they haven't picked out Moylan, I don't know. But Arahan and Taylor, he was excellent. And he always seems to turn it on in his Stacey West-sponsored away shirt, doesn't he?
He certainly does, which is a nice little added bonus. And right. I just want to add one more thing before we move on from Barnsley.
If
that's okay. Because...
Of course it's okay.
I know it is.
You do what you want, yeah. Charlie. I don't...
Ah, oh, thank you. Thank you.
Pissed, mate. Just do what you want.
That's a dangerous phrase. Right. So, yesterday's game was actually our second lowest average age. I don't know if you've noticed that. 23.6 years was our first 11, our starting 11 average age. For the record, Barnsley's was 26.0. Like I say, our second behind Wickham away, which was obviously also fueled with injuries and a few different players starting still, even though it was coming out of it, there was still a good few injuries. But for us to have done that with a squad so young, and also bearing in mind, what, two lone players on the pitch yesterday?
Mitchell.
In a really good spot. Mitchell and Taylor. Joe Taylor.
We are. I've just had Christmas dinner with my old man, and like even he's excited. And it takes a lot to get him excited. When I was born, he wasn't excited. He was playing squash with his mates. So it takes, you know what I mean? Well, we didn't know what he was giving birth to at the time, though, did Charlie? Well, he wasn't giving birth, obviously, because that was my mum's role. Absolutely. Look, I tell you what, shall we move forward? Because if we are going to get to that I don't want to either. If we are going to get to that magical 76 points, as you say, 82 was a maximum. I think probably 72 we're going to get. So whether that'll be enough, I don't know. Well, I'm thinking around 72. All ends up, we're going to have to take something from Tuesday night. Sinsel Bank, Cambridge United. It's kind of a derby in our house. Fee's from Cambridge, but Fee's mum here, she's from Cambridge. To get a balanced view on Cambridge United, we have decided to have a chat with Tom from Under the Abbey Stand. And he's going to have a chat about Cambridge United, so we will go to that right now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door, including my favourite, the quarter pounder with cheese. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get reward points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to the Stacey West preview with Cambridge United on Tuesday night. I am joined by Tom from the Under the Abbey Stand podcast. Tom, how are we doing?
Yeah, good. Thanks yourself.
Yeah, rather pleased after yesterday's result. I'm not sure if you've seen Lincoln's result yesterday, although let's be honest, probably won't have been able to miss it. So I'm quite happy. What about you guys? Even if we just take away yesterday's result, just the whole season as well, is this where you kind of expected to be?
I think so. In terms of opposition, the league and sort of how it's all going, really, I think... I think we were pretty realistic that, you know, we survived on the last day of last season in pretty emphatic pretty remarkable circumstances, really. And that was good. But I think we were all pretty aware that this season would kind of be quite similar. We were hoping for a bit of progression, I guess, in terms of can we stay up maybe a little more comfortably than we did. And at the moment, I guess, we're obviously a few points clear of the drop zone and that's good. But I mean, the season as a whole has been a bit of a... We've kind of got in a bit of a roundabout way, really. Obviously, Mark Bonner left the club, who had been, you know, a legendary manager of the football club, really. Back in November. Actually, it was after you guys came to the Abbey and beat us really comfortably. Neil Harris then came in and did a decent job for 11 weeks, and then got the call from Millwall to go there. So, you know, we find ourselves searching for a manager again, and we have Gary Monk now, who started with a draw against Northampton. So, I think the season's gone sort of. You know, if you look at it just purely in terms of our league position, pretty pretty much as expected, really. But I think there is a lot of or growing concern that our fixtures are rather difficult or comparatively with the other teams we're competing against, more difficult. And what we've shown in the last, probably since the turn of the year, really, has been probably not quite good enough. So, yeah, it's we're not coming to this game probably with as much positivity as you guys. I think it's fair to say. But look, there's still plenty of reason to think we can, you know, do our job, which fundamentally is to stay up. And I'm not sure that will start on Tuesday night, but I think there's enough in the squad. I think there's enough to have reason to think that we might be okay this season. But it does feel like there's a few too many games to go for my liking, to be honest. Quite a season to end tomorrow, but yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Well, obviously, we very much hope that your kind of fight for survival doesn't begin, if you like, on Tuesday night. But you mentioned the difficult run that you've been on recently. I mean, since Christmas, and this was something I was talking to a couple of people walking out the ground yesterday, kind of looking ahead to this game. Since Christmas Day, you've won 3 matches. Okay, not a terrible record for somebody down there. It's hardly great. But those 3 wins were against Fleetwood, Shrewsbury and Carlisle, all teams that are realistically very much in a relegation fight with you guys. Is that kind of a fundamental issue to your game, that you're struggling to really be picking up results from those higher up the league?
Yeah, I think to be honest, it's been a bit of a trait that we've had since coming back into League One, to be honest. We've not, particularly like against teams like the top 6, for example, we've struggled against, but increasingly that's becoming teams in the top half or just simply above us in the league. So yeah, like that's a problem, because although you know we're realistic enough, I think, as a fan base to understand and accept that we're not going to compete with your Boltons, for example, over the course of a 46-game season. But if you're starting to write off every game you play against teams in the top half, suddenly it leaves you with only a few fixtures to basically get the points you need to stay up, right? And you know, you mentioned about the wins we've had. You know, even in that run, like we've been beaten by Cheltenham. We've dropped points against Burton and Exeter. So it's kind of been a bit of a mixed bag, really, even in terms of results against teams that are around us. So yeah, it's a bit concerning. I think naturally at this stage of the season, you start to look towards games against teams that have nothing to play for. So Northampton on Saturday was, I guess, a good opportunity to go and get 3 points against a team that realistically have nothing to play for this season. And for the first half, it looked it. And then, you know, the second half was not great viewing. But yeah, I think we are playing, you know, we've still got fixtures to play against teams that are in the top half, and that concerns me, because of what I've seen from us, to be frank, over the last few, well, 2 or 3 years, really, since going back into the division.
Well, absolutely. And hopefully that's very much the case on Tuesday night. Looking kind of at your season as a whole, and you've mentioned, obviously, in terms of league position, maybe it's not too surprising as to where you are, but there's been so much sort of turmoil, if you like, throughout the whole season, especially when, like you say, when you look at who's in the dugout. Has there been much of a tactical shift, progression, if you like, through, obviously, Gary Monk's only had 1 match, but kind of going from Mark Bonner to Neil Harris and now to Monk, has there been quite kind of revolutionary shifts between each of the managers so far, or have they tried to fundamentally keep a lot of things the same?
I think it's looked pretty similar all season, to be honest. I think Harris was a pretty natural progression from Bonner. Really, you know, his style of play is pretty, well, it is what it is, put it that way. I mean, you know, I think Bonner's style of play was the same. Like, we, you know, any successes that we have had in this division so far have come from building quite a solid base, and to be honest, we've never been a team that have created loads of chances or scored loads of goals. That's obviously an area that we need to improve on if we are going to progress, of course. I think I think that will come after the summer. That's obviously on the assumption that we stay up. And I think even regardless of the division we're in, to be honest, we'll see a bit of a shift. I think, you know, I'm basing it purely on to be honest, his Swansea days, which obviously a long way behind him now. But Monk's football, I think, would ideally not be what it's been at Cambridge in the last kind of year or so. I think he would look to maybe progress things a little bit more. But in terms of what we've seen this season, no, it's just been pretty much a kind of solid progression, really. And I don't really think Monk's got the kind of tools at his disposal to change too much either. So I anticipate it's going to look pretty similar across the last 10 games to what it's done for the first bit of the season as well. So, but yeah, we'll see. I mean, I'd love to see a bit of a shift, but I'm not sure we're going to see it.
So we're going to come back from that. Charlie and I can't listen to that because I think it's being recorded after. I think it's being recorded during while we're on air. It's already been recorded. Charlie's shaking his head.
It was done at 11:30 this morning.
It hasn't been emailed to me.
Yeah, I know.
Who's emailing it to me? You?
Yeah.
Well, why hasn't it been emailed to me then?
Because it's sat there in the WeTransfer thing and I just haven't clicked send yet.
Well...
Yeah,
ladies, gentlemen, boys and girls, I'd say you can't get the
start. Are you gonna edit up before we even do the main pod? It's like you didn't need it yet. God, you know, some people you
could have listened to it.
Love a moan, do they?
Yeah, listen right. to it.
Yeah, caught. There's more chance of your dad listening to one of these podcasts than you listening to the preview.
Oh, that's such a good comeback. I do sometimes listen to the preview, so actually, balls to you. I listen to the one I recorded.
You recorded?
Yeah, didn't I do the Morecambe one last season with Dave, yeah. Salmon? Oh, no, I didn't. I did their podcast. I don't record one.
I was going to say, I did it with Dave last season.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever.
Yeah.
Cambridge United then. So we don't know what Tom from the Abbey Stand is, under the Abbey Stand is saying, but actually they're really good. I like the guys from under the Abbey Stand. Also, yeah, you know. So tell us what he said. Well, did you record it?
Yes.
Well, I thought it was Ben.
No, it was me.
Oh, tell us about what Tom said then.
Oh, absolutely, I will do.
finally got that.
You really made that hard work, didn't you? I can't remember what you said. That was hours ago. No. What they sort of said, it's obviously been a really weird season for them. Massive roller coaster. In terms of league position, so they're currently sat in 19th to the league position. They're not surprised, probably where they would have had them in this sort of range at the start of the season in predictions. But they're now on their third permanent manager of the season. Obviously, Mark Bonner was let go after the 3-0 thumping at their place early on in the season. And Neil Harris, who they brought in to replace him, spent 11 weeks there before then moving to Millwall, which was really weird considering he'd been sacked from Gillingham earlier this season as well. So a bit of an odd career path from him this season alone. And now they've got in Gary Monk, who hasn't had a job since 2020. When he left Sheffield Wednesday. So a little bit of an interesting one, but their style hasn't necessarily changed too much. So maybe expect to see them be a little bit similar to what they were like in the reverse fixture. They are a side that are okay against teams around them. If you look at their 2024 form since the turn of the year, they have won 3 matches. All 3 of those were against Shrewsbury, Fleetwood, Carlisle. All 3 teams in and around the relegation zone. I mean, Carlisle, dead last, they are god-awful. Fleetwood can very much be god-awful. And Shrewsbury, well, we saw what Shrewsbury could be like. So they're okay against them. Against teams much higher than them in the division, they're terrible. It's quite literally a write-off most of the time, is what Tom said. And it's very much how I sort of saw it from the outside as well. They don't really seem to have an answer to sort of the better teams in the division. Now, they got a draw against Northampton at the weekend. You'd obviously say a slight manager bounce maybe with Gary Monk coming in their first match. But, you know, you can't really read in too much into that. I'm sure a lot of that is actually probably hyperbole and could probably get myth-busted at some point in an article. There you go, Gary. There's another idea for one of your myth-buster articles that you've been doing recently. So is this going to be a difficult game? I don't see it being... too difficult. I don't see it being as easy as Shrewsbury, but I really don't see this game being as difficult as anywhere near as difficult as something like a Stevenage that we've had recently, or even when we travelled away to Wickham. I think that maybe had more sort of positives from that. They are going to try and break up the play. They're going to try and play a very kind of attritional game of football. I don't know who the ref is on Tuesday night, but hopefully he's not somebody that's going to help lend into that. There were times, if you look back to maybe this time last season, and I was recording a preview and they sort of said the same as what Tom's saying now, when, you know, they're going to try and break up the play, they're going to play really defensively, come to us and try and get a draw, that sort of thing. I'd be worried that we'd struggle to get a result. Again, I'm really not as worried. You can't really be worried after Saturday, though, can you, Gaz?
No, you can't. It's interesting because I look at Cambridge's forward line. And I think actually looks quite impressive. I mean, Elie Skichunga, okay, he's not a world beater, but he's a decent player at this level. He scored for them on Saturday against Northampton. Lyle Taylor, a player that people were saying, well, we should try and sign. And, you know, 2018, he's a great signing. He scored a couple for them, been sent off recently. Sully Kaikai, a player that I've really liked. And I get the impression with Kaikai, he's the sort of player that sometimes turns up and sometimes probably doesn't, which worries me. I think in terms of referees, we've got a decent one, which is Scott Oldham, who he was the referee that sent off Ben House, I think, at Derby away, if I remember correctly. Refereed our draw with Wickham in January. So he, where we scored the last minute goal, Ethan Aran. So he refereed that. I think he's a decent referee. So I don't think we've got an issue with that. No. It's a game that we should win, in all honesty. And the thing is, you feel arrogant when you're you or me or Chris or Ben, and you come on here and you're a Lincoln fan and you're saying we should win this game. It feels arrogant, but we are on a roll. We are 11 games unbeaten. I haven't done the research, but that's a run that I think goes back to the 80s, the last time that we were 11 unbeaten in the third tier. I don't think it's something that we've done in this particular little run. We lost, we were 10 unbeaten under Mark Kennedy. We didn't go 11 unbeaten under Mark Kennedy. So you've got to go back 40 years. I think we can make it 12. I think we can do it. And I think when you look at the games that are being played on Tuesday night as well, I think it's a critical Tuesday. It's massive. It is massive for us. I quite like Cambridge as a team, if I'm honest. I like their ground. I like their ethos. They played 4-4-2 on Saturday against Northampton, so they didn't sit back. They did want to go for it. It was one all. It was 0.61 XG against Bolton, 0.39 against Stevenage, 0.68 against Peterborough, 0.82 against Bolton, 0.67. You know, you have to go back to the 17th of February where they got 1.49 against Carlisle but scored four. I mean, it's not a good side. I don't think they're going down because I think the teams that are in the bottom four at the minute, Cheltenham, Fleetwood, Port Vale and Carlisle, are in a lot of trouble. And I think Burton might get dragged into it. But Cambridge are 5 points above that at the minute with a game in hand of Fleetwood as well. But they're going to be fighting for it. I don't rate their choice of manager. No. I don't think Gary Monk is a manager who's going to take them forward. It feels to me a little bit like a team that are on their arse and that are lacking a little bit of direction and ideas. And we talk about the players there that I said are dangerous for them, Kachunga and Taylor and Kaikai. You have one of those in your side, you're going, oh, well, it's a player who's kind of been and done it before, who you're taking a risk on. You've got two, you've got three. They've got Jack Lancaster at the minute, but I don't see an Iredale, I don't see Shiloh Tracy. I don't see the exciting players that they used to have a few seasons ago. I don't know if Shiloh Tracy is still there. So there we go. Macaulay Bond came off the bench for them. Macaulay Bond hasn't been, it's not for me. It frightens me, Charlie, if I'm honest, because it's a game we should win, and it's a night where, okay, so that's a game that we should win, and I think we've already said that Stevenage have got a tough game. Are they away at Peterborough?
Yes, and I think Oxford play Blackpool. Is it something like that? I think like there's three matches all between teams above us. I think Bolton. Bolton, and then Blackpool Oxford play someone as well, don't they?
Oxford play Bolton. Blackpool are away at Northampton,
right?
Which
are again a great side.
Actually, Stevenage and Peterborough aren't appearing there. Do they play Wednesday?
Oh no, they play Wednesday night. Sorry, yes.
Okay.
So end of Tuesday, it could be 3 points.
Frightens me. Because I've got a weekend away booked on what would be playoff semi-final Saturday.
You haven't. That's just daft.
We were 15 points shy of the bloody playoffs, Charlie.
I'm still keeping bank holiday weekend for the record. For regular listeners, you'll know this is my final year at uni. Bank holiday weekend will be the weekend before my exam start. So chances are I'll have an exam on the Tuesday. If we're at Wembley that weekend, I'm going down there. I'm staying down there. I could care less about my exams because there is a great chance and it'll be a great weekend. But like you say, we have to win. We have to get something out of it. We have to win on Tuesday night. And it is one that we can and should be winning. And there is obviously that danger there that it's a bit of a banana skin. But I said a few weeks ago, I think we'd gone like 7 unbeaten at that point. And I turned around and made a point of saying, this might sound really arrogant, but I can't see where the next loss is coming from. And I still can't see where the next loss is coming from. The only games coming up that truly worry me, I mean, away at Oxford, but they're not the team that they were at the start of the season. At home to Portsmouth last day, I think that fully depends on how Portsmouth's end of the season goes. Because if their title's wrapped up by last day and they've already had the celebrations at Fratton Park the Saturday before, they're just coming to us for a good day out. They'll be on the beaches, half the players. It's all to play for.
It's the week 23rd and 29th, isn't it? Oxford away, Orient at home.
You but win Oxford those away back. Will get cancelled, I think.
Yeah, but if it didn't and you win those games, if not, by the way, if Oxford does get cancelled, it's 3 home games on the bounce. Cambridge, yeah. Bristol Rovers, Leighton Orient. You win all of those, then you're away at Carlisle. Shit. You're away at Reading. Probably a tough game, that, but at home to Wigan, away at Cheltenham, and then you've got just Oxford and Portsmouth to come. What baffles me, what vexes me, is 7 days ago I was talking to Chris about we're looking at next season. Just beat one of the best sides in the division 5-1 on their own turf. We've won, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games out of 8. We're unbeaten since New Year's Day. We haven't got 2 of our regular midfielders. Ted Bishop missing was 3. Jack Burrows is just coming back. I don't know. Do you know what? Whatever happens this season, Saturday just convinced me that the Michael Scabala experiment, if you could call it an experiment, the Michael Scabala appointment looks at the moment to be really paying dividends. We look like a good side. He's getting football out of certain players that I never expected to see him play. Joe Taylor, I expected it. But Danny Mandroyu playing in the midfield after what he's been through, because he's been a pariah and he was outstanding. Mm-hmm. And like, I go back to it, when you've got Andy Pearson saying, you know, turning point for Danny Mandroyu, it's just, he's right. You know, I don't know. I haven't seen a player who has shrunk and faded under Michael Scabala.
There isn't a single passenger in any side that we've fielded since he's come in. And that is a testament to him and the rest of the coaching staff. We just mentioned there about Cambridge. You know, they don't look like they've really got much of a project. Their direction is lacking. And to be honest, you'd expect them to be in League Two soon enough, whether that's at the end of this season, next season, or the season after. I said this on the bus, actually, I think coming back from Port Vale when we were having a conversation. It's one of the few things I remember. And I turned around and said, I will be in the Championship before we're in League Two next. And I stand by that. And a huge part of that is this new head coach. At the start of Mark Kennedy's reign, I bought into it a lot. And I was really kind of excited. Started wavering that a little bit, as I mentioned. But under Michael Scooper, I don't see it wavering, because there's this clear... It's all the intangibles that are going so well for us as well. Like I've said, that club culture... But like, let's be honest, we've been in town seeing one of the players chanting that out of nowhere. That was after a month of Scubala being here. There's such a sort of togetherness and bond between this whole team and the club culture. We are on the way up. We are on the way forward. And we've also, like I said, our second youngest squad of the season, and only 2 of them loan players. Oh, I'm excited.
Well, I usually do a little monologue at the end of the podcast now, but I don't think there's a huge amount of point to me doing it, because Charlie has just more or less summed it up. Lincoln City won 5-1 away at Barnsley yesterday. The playoff dream is still on. 6 points, 9 games to go. I don't know where the ride's going to take us. I just know one thing, it's going to be a hell of a ride. ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, thank you so much for listening. Your support is always appreciated. Up the imps.
Up the imps.
It's the 90th minute and all your mates around watching the imps on iFollow. You've got your McNugget share boxes on the go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, but then you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.